Are we okay?
Yeah.
A grandson climbs up on the porch with his grandfather, and he looks him in the eye, and he says, "Grandpa, you and God are just alike." Grandpa stretches. He says, "We are." I said, "Yeah, you're both old." So the grandson comes home one day, and he says, "Grandpa, we learned how to make babies in school today." He said, "You what?" He said, "We learned how to make babies in school today." His grandfather gets all up in the air, and he says, "Yeah, you drop the Y, add an I, and ES." Okay. For those of you who got that, the rest you'll have to tell the rest of them. Thank you for the opportunity to teach today. I pray that what God has shown me through my study of Proverbs chapter 22, I'm able to communicate to you in some small way. Pastor Jim Jacobs, come here just a second. Those of you that don't know, this is the... If we have a pastor at Huddle, here he is. He's an unheralded hero. He makes sure that I do what I'm supposed to do, when I'm supposed to do it, and how I'm supposed to do it. He calls us. If something breaks, he fixes it. For all of the speakers, we know how much he means to us. And for all of you, I'd like you to give him a hand of thanks. Proverbs chapter 22, verses 1 and 2 says this from the Living Word. "If you must choose, take a good name rather than great riches. For to be held in loving esteem is better than silver and gold. The rich and the poor are alike before the Lord who made them all." You don't really believe that, do you? In the society we live, do you actually believe this, let alone put it into practice? In my own life, I've seen people compromise their ethics and just about every other standard of one-on-one service to their fellow man for financial gain. And many of you have too. That's why we're so guarded. That's why we don't trust anybody. That's why we don't trust each other. Because we've seen how we treat each other. "Bob, you can't talk like that today." I'm going to take you out of your better not say zone today, because I'm going to say some things that's going to make you uncomfortable. But my prayer is that God gets you the same way He got me, because He got me before He got you. In the book, Just Like Jesus, an entire town made a covenant for 1 year asking the question, "What would Jesus do in every situation?" Newspapers lost subscribers because they wouldn't advertise certain things or they wouldn't cover certain stories that they felt Jesus wouldn't promote. See, if something's going to be different tomorrow, we have to do something different today. I'll let that sit there for just a second. Ralph, did you get it? Okay. Let me ask you a question. Why'd you come to Huddle today? That's true, the lunch. Some businessmen come to be seen, so they'll know they're the president. I'm not going to pick on you. I'll pick on him since Mike's sitting next to you. Yeah. He's president of a bank. Somebody, we want to see him. He's got an organization that he has to raise funds for. Ronnie wants you to see him here. Why'd you come to Huddle today? We've been coming for 4 years. 4 years. We've got to know each other. We're starting to realize that we've got faults, failures, weaknesses, zits. We eat beans, we get gas. "Oh, Bob, you can't say that." I'm going to take you out of your better not say zone today. Because we're men. Luke chapter 8, verse 53, "And they began laughing him, knowing that she had died." In verse 52 of that chapter, Jesus had just told Jairus and those people with him that his daughter was not dead, she was asleep. This was the Son of God. the life giver. And they laughed at him and made fun of him. And I'm going to tell you. How's that? That good? Am I too loud? Is that okay, Kent? You start to act and talk like Jesus, and they're going to do the same thing to you. Amen? See, I don't want to be here today giving this talk. I'm too busy. I've been too busy for 30, 45 days. On February the 5th, 2008, a tornado destroyed our warehouse in Memphis, Tennessee. John, you know how busy that makes me because I take care of the insurance with our company. And I'm telling you, everybody wants some action from Bob. They want to know something or give me something or tell me something. Plus all the other stuff. On February 14th of 2008, I was delay director in Logansport on LGB number 19. Do you see that scenario? The tornado, February 14th. I'm the men's Bible study teacher on Wednesdays. I'm a grandfather. I'm a father. I'm trying to be a Christian. I'm supposed to be. But I'm telling you what, I felt myself being pulled every which way in the last 30, 45 days. I've read and I've prayed. I've done my duty. I sit down and I'm going to read this. Lord, here I am. I'm done. Next. My accountability partner this week told me something. He looked me straight in the eyes. He said, Bob, you normally go about 80 miles an hour. He said, you're up to 110, maybe Mach 10. He said, you're going places. He said, I'm telling you. He said, even when you're here, you're not here. You're thinking about where you need to be. Looked me right in the eyes and told me, I said, you don't listen to me anymore. You don't listen to what I'm saying. You're too busy leaving. That's my accountability partner that I know that loves me. We need people like this in our lives to challenge us. Because see, we're proud men. Well, Jim Butcher told us that pride is arrogance that leaves God out of the picture. That's what he said. In 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but it is from the world. The world will try to lead you if you allow that to happen in your life. You ever heard about you ever try to boil a frog? If you bring that water to a high boil and you throw that frog in there, it'll jump out. But if you put that frog in that cold water and you turn that heat on and you bring that water to a slow boil, he'll swim around in there till he dies because he got used to it. What are you used to today? Terry O'Dell told us that just talking is not communicating. John 8:43 says, why do you not understand what I'm saying? It's because you cannot hear my words. The translation says, you do not wish to. You cannot bear to accept his teaching. See, we come in here and we listen and we hear. But do we apply it to our lives? Do we do something about what we hear? Do we change? Is there something different this week than you were last week? Proverbs 22:17 says, incline your ear and hear the words of the wise and apply your mind to my knowledge. The living word says, apply it to your heart to what I teach. Pastor Steve Butler taught us on March 12th when he shared about the heritage from his father. Pastor Butler, are you here? Okay. And he shared about the great heritage of his father. How many of you were here? You heard that? At our table, there was a man that looked us straight in the eyes and he said, I've never had anybody to teach me Christian principles. This man is over 50 years old. He's never had anybody tell him about that. And while we were sitting there, several other men at that table said, me either. I don't know what your heritage is. I don't know where you come from. You might come from the ghetto like me. You might be some poor little hick. I don't know. But this today, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you came from. See, I could try to tell you about third world countries. How many of you have been to a third world country? We can try to explain to them what a third world country looks like. I can close my eyes and I can remember the smell of poverty. Do you remember that, guys, when you were there? I can see the little huts that they had built. I remember seeing a house that was built out of little pieces of wood and little lean-to for the roof. How about war? I could try to explain to you what war's like, but until you're on the ground in a foxhole and an AK-47 starts to go cack, 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 and you see the green tracer rounds fly over your head, you don't know what war's like. And I pray that the men of our, in this room never experience that. But me trying to tell you about that, the words just don't work. But today, the words can work. The words can do what they're supposed to do because they're guided by the Holy Spirit. We must listen. I recently attended a birthday of a lady that turned 80 years old. She's in a nursing home now, and I was close to her at the time, and her four children invited me to go to this birthday party. So I went. And when I sat down and they sang some hymns that she liked, and then they started talking about me. And they started sharing Bob moments in their lives. It was humbling. And the youngest girl started sharing about a time that I helped her with a doctor's visit. Those were just little things in my life that I had done that you don't realize how impactful they are to the people that you're touching. But we're too busy. I've got someplace to go. I've got to be someplace this afternoon. I don't have time for that. There'll be men sitting right at your table. They'll look you right in the eyes and tell you they're going through a divorce. And they'll leave this room and nobody will talk to them about it this afternoon or tomorrow or next week. There'll be people sitting at your table and tell you they've got a child that's dying of a disease. He got me before he got you. Kent Wilson on January 23rd, Proverbs chapter 15, shared about a letter from a church friend. Do you remember that letter? I've heard Kent's talk where he lost his wife. It's powerful. The testimony is powerful. But then he shared, he stood right here and he tried not to cry because that letter hurt him so much. That letter was from a fellow Christian that felt like they were impressed to write him that letter. Who are we? What are we? This man's trying to put a family together of three and three and trying to mold them together, and somebody sits down and writes a letter like that? Are you kidding me? My accountability partner last week received a letter like that. Crushed him. Crushed him. Somebody he thought was a friend that wrote something like that. Bob, you're supposed to be encouraging. I'm going to tell you something. We have to change what we're doing. We have to change what we're doing if we're going to make a difference in the people's lives that come into contact with us. Mike Kurikoff, I'm telling you, Mike, you touched me so much last week. I left here. I was broken because Mike said he went to church every week and nobody helped him. He had a 4-year-old, a 7-year-old. Nobody said, here, let me take him home with me for the weekend. You've got too much. Remember what he said, 24/7? He was mom, dad. If they made a mess, he had to clean it up. He had to do everything. Didn't anybody ever think to say, let me take him? Do you remember him talking about after he'd put him into bed and how he was so alone? Where are we? Nobody in this room should be alone when they leave here. Nobody should ever. Not if they come in to huddle. Not if they come in and touch us. Should they, Ron? Not when they leave here. We should know about it, Mike. We should know about their lives. Dick Sandburn told us on January 9th, you want to be on God's side? Pray, read the Word, and be accountable. What's it mean to be accountable? Phil Templin told us about life and death on February 20th when he challenged us to talk the walk or walk the talk. Are we walking our talk, or are we just fluffing it up? I want to make a difference in some people's lives because I don't want a Mike Kirchhoff to leave this place and have to go through that alone ever again. Stop and think for just a second. Go to your church. Close your eyes if you have to. Can you see somebody in your church that needs you? Can you see somebody in your family that needs you? Can you see somebody here at Huddle that needs you? The Living Word says in 1 John 2:6, anyone who says he is a Christian should live as Christ did. I can't tell you what that is. You have to decide that. Because I'm Bob Gray, and that's John Tice. We're two different people. John Tice has to be what Christ tells him to be, and Bob Gray has to be what Christ tells me to be. And then in John chapter 13, then the Lord and Master have washed your feet. You also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. I'm going to tell you what, you try to make a difference in people's lives, and let me tell you what will happen. Martin Luther, 1483 to 1546, his controversial stand against the church in Rome, outlined in his first writing, the Sermon of Good Works, caused him so much pain, he was branded an outlaw of the church, and his published works were burned in Rome as a point of their disapproval. Burned them right in the street so they could say, we don't believe what he says. Later he wrote The Freedom of the Christian, where he outlined his views on Freiheit, which is freedom or liberty. Those same things that he wrote in there, we have them in the Western world today. We live by some of those principles. You know what freedom is? Let every nation know, whether it wishes us well or ill, that we shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and success of freedom. John Kennedy, 1961. We will never waver. We will not tire. We will not falter. We will not fail. Peace and freedom will prevail. George Bush, 2001. We confide in our strength without boasting of it. We respect that of others without fearing it. Thomas Jefferson. We need freedom. And you have to stand up. You stand up and do something, and I'll tell you what, they'll take your knees out from under you. Phil Templin told us there's two types of people. Those that have to say something and those that have something to say. I want to be somebody that has something to say, don't you? You can sit there and say, Bob, you're just an emotional speaker. Yes, I am. But I'm passionate about what I'm speaking about today, because I know there's men in this room that will come in one way and you're going to leave the same way because you're afraid to share something with somebody. And I don't blame you. We've done a terrible job. We tell somebody something in our life, and next thing you know, it's on the front page of the Kokomo Tribune. Somebody tells you that they had an affair with somebody, and we call up their wife and tell them. That was free. I didn't have that in my notes. Max Whitiff's an accountability partner, keeps it to himself. Amen? That's what accountability people do. At the outbreak of World War II, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a German pastor. Has anybody ever heard of Dietrich Bonhoeffer? I love Dietrich Bonhoeffer. You might have heard this story before. I love it. He's impacted my life because I saw what he did. He was a teacher and a writer who was able to escape Germany and the Nazi Party. He had fled his native country of Germany to safety, but he couldn't escape. He went back to Germany to help his fellow man. They imprisoned him at the age of 39. And in April of 1945, they let him out into the courtyard where there was a scaffold set up. And all he did was try to help his fellow man. All he did was have a burden for other people. And they put him up on that scaffold and they told him to take his clothes off. They stripped him and they hung him for standing for freedom. It'll cost you something. He wrote this poem. God is with us in the evening and in the morning and in each new day. Dietrich Bonhoeffer gave his life for service to his fellow man. The last words he spoke were this: "This is the end. For me, the beginning of life." 10 years later, a military doctor reported witnessing Bonhoeffer's kneeling in prayer before his execution. In almost 50 years I've worked as a doctor, I've hardly ever seen a man die so entirely submissive to the will of God. Proverbs chapter 22:6. Many of us fathers and grandfathers, we stand on that verse because we believe that the seeds we've planted in our children and our grandchildren will bring forth fruit. Your grandchildren, your children, and the children you come into contact, they're watching you. They know what you're doing. My son-in-law recently shared with me, he went through a divorce. It was a bad divorce. He had two little children. He had custody. His ex-wife took the table and chairs. He couldn't afford to buy a table and chairs. So he stood beside his two children while they ate their supper on two bar stools at a counter for 7 months because he couldn't afford to buy another bar stool. And he couldn't afford a table and chairs. Said he went to church every week. Mike, he went every week. Every week. And he said he would come home and he was so alone. He shared that story with me and I just sat there. We must pay attention to the opportunities God brings in our lives. The bottom line is following God and listening to the Holy Spirit is going to cost you something. May 1968, graduation night for Bob Gray. Some of you heard this story. I came home. We'd gone to a couple of parents' houses. And a friend of mine came by and got me. We went We went someplace to eat breakfast. That place, you know what I mean? We went and ate breakfast and were on my way back and we could see that there was a fire over by my house. As we pulled around the corner, it was my house. Fire was coming out my bedroom window. That morning after they got the fire contained and I was able to walk into the house and they let me go up into my room and the fire had gone up the stairway into my room and all my trophies were gone, all my clothes. I had a yellow shirt, a blue pair of slacks, a brown belt, a brown pair of shoes, and a yellow pair of socks. That's when we still matched, you know. Everything gone. The next day, a friend of mine came by and got me and said, "Mr. and Mrs. Yost want you to come over to their house." So they took me over to their house. When I got there, they gave me a sack. And in that sack was brand new underwear. Now, you don't know that you don't have underwear till you don't have it. But the Yost got out of their zone, and they got out of their comfort zone, and they saw a need, and they met it. See, we're always going to do something. It was spring, but it was summer I wanted. The warm days, the great outdoors. It was summer, but it was fall I wanted. The colorful leaves and the cool, dry air. It was fall, but it was winter I wanted. The beautiful snow and the joy of the holiday season. It was winter, but it was spring I wanted. The warmth and the blossoming of nature. I was a child, but it was adulthood I wanted. The freedom and the respect. I was 20, but it was 30 I wanted to be mature and sophisticated. I was middle-aged, but it was 20 I wanted. The youth and the free spirit. I was retired, but it was middle age I wanted. The presence of mind, without limitation. My life was over, but I never got what I wanted. We're so busy, and we're so busy being busy that we're where we're going instead of where we are. Matt Redman wrote a song called "The Heart of Worship" in 1990. His church had gotten churchy, had plenty of Christianity. They were arguing and bickering about what songs to sing, what order to sing them in, how long, how none of your churches do this. So the pastor just came in and said, we're not going to have any music. So they just sat there. The first week, the choir came back and they had their choir robes on. He said, take your robes off. We don't have any music. This went over real big. But you pastors got choirs. They just went out there and just sat. But something happened after several weeks. They started singing. They started singing a cappella. Matt Goodman wrote, when the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. Don't leave that table today if there's a man there that needs you. Don't leave your church this Sunday if there's somebody there that needs you to touch their life. I challenge you to touch those that God brings into your life. Reach over and take someone by the hand if you're comfortable. Father, we thank you for this day, for your blessing. And Lord, we repent about being too busy that we don't see and we don't hear. Forgive us, Lord. But today at Huddle, we're here because we love you and we want to be used by you. God, touch every table. Touch every discussion. If there's men in this room that need accountability partner, that need somebody to love them, if there's a Mike Kirikoff that needs somebody to touch their life today, Lord, show that to us. Let's be attentive to your Spirit. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.